Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be. Self-evident.
Hopefully you're having a better time of it and a better afternoon, a better weekend than what I am, or at least a less eventful one. But nevertheless, I am here and I will try to hopefully remain here for the entire 45 minutes with a knock on wood, no interruptions, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Long story short, my landlord, by the way, Jason Haw is here with you on American Faith today, and it is Saturday, April 16th. Good to have you, nevertheless, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening on the archives when that time comes. And the call-in number, if you are listening live, 347-989-8387, chat room open as well. Again, 347-989-8387. If you're listening live and wish to call in, chat room open as well. Now, back to the complications of today's events. My landlord, landlady, landperson, whatever the politically correct terminology you prefer to use for the person I pay my monthly rent to, who's been a family friend, again, for about 30 years, 30, 31 years, so basically almost my entire life. But her husband recently retired sometime latter part of last year, and they were on vacation, an extended vacation out of state from probably for like 4 or 5, 6 months, something like that. Sometime, I think, before Christmas or around Christmas, maybe shortly thereafter. And they just got back home yesterday, and they're here outside my apartment. They've been here outside my apartment, and they returned home and returned to check out these apartments. We've got a phone call. I want to finish this, but basically I've got a backed-up sewer line, which has made things a little, like I said, a little complicated and hectic around here. Just before I came on the air to start the show, I had Jan, the aforementioned person I pay my rent to, telling me to flush the toilet over and over again to see if it worked, but they still haven't figured out what exactly the problem is down in the basement. But I guess total mess down there now. But before I even get into the content of today's show, we have somebody who is on hold calling in, so let's find out who this is. And I believe you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Tone. I was so interested in the context of the show. I saw what it was, and I called in because I wanted to listen and see if I could join in when you were talking, but you answered my phone call very fast.
Oh, okay. So were you just calling in to listen on your phone, or did you have some comments to make, or or are you thinking you may have some comments to make later on?
There you go. I think I was going to have some comments to make later on.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see if I can put you on hold or something here, and that way you can listen and chime back in if you want to.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much for taking the time to do that.
And no problem. Thank you for the call. Okay, and Tone, basically, it's not signed into the chat room, and I'll try to take a look at that from time to time, and if you want to comment, then I will unmute you. But anyway, and I just had my landlord call me. So like I said, it's been a hectic start to the show. I apologize for the interruption. Like I said, it's been an incredibly hectic day. What I wanted to talk about today, though, was, as a matter of fact, let me just put myself on hold. I'm again, apologize, but I at least got to hear what this message is that she's left for me. I wish I had some good hold music to play for you, but unfortunately I do not. So I will be back here. I hate to do this, especially even though it's not radio. Technically radio, I dead air, being somebody who was in radio, dead air is the enemy. And actually, it looks like she's now telling me to let my sinks run and flush the toilet. So I will do that and get back to the show. I will very much try to multitask here and certainly not leave Tone or anyone else hanging. If you hear some strange noises in the background, I'm going to try not to. I'm actually going to not flush the toilet over and over again and hopefully not make her mad in the process. But anyway, interesting day. Interesting day to be sure. Now, what I wanted to talk about today, though, is several of these headlines that I saw on especially a site that occasionally is a go-to site for me called newsforchristians.com. And I poked around at some of their stories, also some of the websites that they link to, and picked up what I think is a very interesting slate of stories to talk about today. And we've got stories here concerning abortion. We've got LGBT stories. We've got a very interesting story concerning the IRS meeting with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And I just want to get right into these, especially, like I said, as hectic as the day has already been. And Tone, if you're still on the line there, I certainly appreciate you hanging in there. But let me start out with a story that it's not really a revisit either on the show in this particular case or anything that I had come across necessarily before, but it certainly falls right in line. I will make a little bit of a disclaimer. I think I probably did post something on this story on the American Faith Today Facebook page. But anyway, this coming out of Washington State, and it is that kind of that tired old story, that tired old repetitive case that keeps popping up, especially since Obamacare, and especially since basically many of the taxpayers wound up, and now I'm getting a text message saying that I can stop running my faucets, so I will do that. But this story from Washington State, basically you have a Christian-owned family pharmacy in Washington State. It's a very small-scale operation, very much the definition of an American small business. And this pharmacy, which was called Ralph's Thriftway, owned by the Stroman family. The U.S. Supreme Court, this coming from ChristianHeadlines.com, the U.S. Supreme Court is apparently Actually, as of yesterday, they were expected to decide whether to hear the case on this Ralph's Thriftway, this Christian-owned pharmacy by the Stroman family, and their refusal to stock and sell abortion-inducing drugs. The Stromans petitioned the High Court in January, I would presume of this year, to review the case after the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, which, if I'm not mistaken, is that infamous circuit out in San Francisco or somewhere out there in that part of the country that typically is very liberal. Typically, it's one of the most overturned district courts and court of appeals in the entire country. Again, if I've got my districts right, and I believe I do. But anyway, they petitioned the Supreme Court to hear their case, saying that a Supreme Court ruling in 1993 protects them, saying that states may not pass laws prohibiting people from engaging or refusing to engage in conduct for religious reasons. In other words, if stocking Plan B, the Plan B drug, or any other abortifacients would be something that would trouble the Christian conscience of this Stroman family, then this Supreme Court ruling in 1993, apparently, or what they're arguing, protected them so that indeed their conscience would be protected and that they would not be forced to engage in doing anything that violated that in a personal sense. And now they've got Alliance Defending Freedom, which is one of these groups, one of these organizations that often take up cases such as these, whether it's Alliance Defending Freedom. I believe you've got the Beckett Liberty Foundation or Beckett Liberty Fund out there. Of course, the ACLJ oftentimes gets involved in these types of cases as well. But you've got Christian Wagner, attorney, and the Stroman's lead counsel from the Alliance Defending Freedom, saying if the Ninth Circuit decision stands, which apparently ruled that they did have to stock and sell abortion-inducing drugs at their pharmacy, she says if that decision stands, it will be the first time in America's history that we have forced healthcare providers to participate in taking a human life, and that is groundbreaking. Now, where this gets really, really troubling, though, is according to ChristianityToday.com, the executive director of Planned Parenthood's Washington State office met with the then governor of the state to, quote, adopt a rule targeting people of faith. And you might be sitting at home or sitting wherever thinking, well, yeah, that didn't happen. That's just a Christian website making things up. Well, pro-abortion supporters allegedly and reportedly sent test shoppers into the Ralph's Thriftway asking for Plan B, and then when, again, this Christian pharmacy did not stock that, would not sell that, they then filed complaints when the store couldn't provide it. That led to an investigation, and the Stromans were threatened with losing their license. They then filed suit against the state of Washington, and the Stroman family saying the government shouldn't be in a position where they are allowed to make a law that forces us to choose between our family business and our faith. That a release statement from the Stroman family, or the Stroman family, I should say. I've been saying Stroman. It's actually Stroman, it looks like. But anyway, this is what we talk about, many of us, over and over again, as it's really gotten to the point in which Christians in this country, particularly Christian business owners in this country, are being forced to make a decision, whether it involves something along the lines of abortion, whether it involves something along the lines of catering to homosexuals in a gay wedding, or what have you, that they're forced to make a decision between all of a sudden, relatively out of the blue, government regulations, government rules, government laws, and following those laws, or following what to them, what to every single Christian, is the foundation of who they are, which is the conviction of their faith, the conviction of their Christian conscience and their Christian beliefs. And, you know, we've seen this tilt in which in too many cases, the government and at least many of the lower courts are siding with who they view to be the persecuted, powerless minority. You know, a person years ago, it wasn't all that long ago, but was at a message board, and a person at that particular forum, because I can't take credit for this myself. It may have been something I would have come up with in my alleged brilliance at a later date, but I mean, it sticks with me that this person basically laid it out, that when we count on the government, and the federal government especially, but it can be federal, it can be state, it can be local, when we count on the government to be the overseers of protecting whomever against discrimination, against taking up the case of these people who, again, have these complaints, say they were discriminated against, violated in some way. When you put the government in that role, the government then becomes, in some sense, all too often, especially in these instances, an agent of discrimination themselves, particularly when you're not talking about something that is inherent and unchangeable to somebody's core, to somebody's genetic or racial makeup. I mean, a person cannot change races. A person cannot literally change sexes, although obviously that's a very, very hot subject today as well. But, I mean, somebody is born into the race that they are. Someone is born into the gender or the biological sex that they are. But when you start dealing with behavior and life choices and what have you, and you start saying that people are being discriminated against for those things that in one way or another they choose to do. And again, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, especially when it comes to, say, the LGBT population. But, again, they choose the relationships that they want to be in or that they are in. And certainly a woman chooses whether or not to have an abortion. But anyway, this is a case that I haven't seen any information beyond yesterday to find out whether or not the Supreme Court is going to take this up. If they did not release anything yesterday, then perhaps sometime at the beginning of this coming week. But, you know, we can certainly hope and pray that, in this case, religious liberty, religious conscience, and you know what? It even goes beyond that, in a sense. It really does. It gets down to the fundamental liberties that we have as Americans. Now, Tone is wanting to jump in, so I will allow him to do that. And Tone, are you there?
Oh, yes, sir, I am. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, by the way.
My name is Jason.
Jason. You know what? I really enjoyed listening to it. I'm sorry you have a whole bunch of plumbing problems right now.
Thank you very much.
During the show.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I can understand your point. I see exactly where you're going. The thing is, mm-hmm. is I think you got something confused, too. A medical procedure, the difference is a person sometimes looks at it as a medical procedure for abortion. Now, when somebody owns a pharmacy and has a faith issue, they can have a faith issue if they were a Scientologist against any kind of pharmaceutical drugs coming out.
Sure.
This can go beyond crazy if you let it. They're in a medical profession. A medical provider wrote a prescription. In order for them to intervene between a medical provider and a patient because of their religious beliefs, they're the ones that I feel are tossing the stones as well. I think it's unfortunate that somebody on their faith has to sell an abortion pill. It is unfortunate, but that's the job that they chose to do, is be a pharmacy. And in doing so, sometimes you're going to have to do what you don't want to do. It's a job. But if you don't like the job, nobody's forcing them to do to be in a pharmacy. If they don't believe in that, then I suggest getting out of it, not trying to change the whole pharmaceutical system.
Right. Okay. Well, let me pose this to you then, and certainly
sure.
I can understand your rationale as well, as far as pharmacists, that's basically what they're to do. They're to do is to provide whatever medication, drug that someone comes in and wishes to purchase. Now, what about the old line of someone simply, if you will, being an adult and taking their
uh-huh.
business elsewhere?
Sure, I agree with that too. I can't argue that point.
Sure,
you're absolutely right. But at the same time, I feel like recently Christians are casting the first stone. These teachings that Christ taught are so important in this life, especially for the Christian faith. What we have to represent to the community, it's turning into this all of a sudden this persecution of Christians. I don't see any Christians being persecuted. I see a pharmaceutical company that doesn't believe in something and going through the proper actions of our court system. And I understand, I agree with going through that system, but I don't think it's a persecution of Christianity. I think these are just issues that come up. For example, if a child, you have a child and you're raising them, and they do something wrong that you told them not to do, that doesn't void the child. That doesn't make them all bad. It's just a correction in the process of growing. Do you not agree?
I think at times, yes. I also think that there is a very activist and a very militant side. Certain Christians, if they're not careful, can get a little militant themselves. But I definitely think there's an activist and a militant side within some of these other groups and some of these other people. Again, if indeed this story was accurate, that they literally sent people in to this particular pharmacy with the intent of, whether they had an inkling or whether they had firsthand knowledge that, reading the story, it almost seems, not knowing all the information, but almost seems that they had firsthand knowledge, perhaps, that they were dealing with a Christian pharmacy, and going in and basically trying to, you might say, entrap them, knowing that they had this law that, and again, even Planned Parenthood allegedly going to the former governor of the state and saying, how can we basically, from my standpoint, target Christians? The IRS, the story, I don't know if I'll get to it now, but I'll just mention it, actually, since we're talking here. The IRS right now is being sued by by the Alliance Defending Freedom, once again, and also Judicial Watch. Basically, the Alliance Defending Freedom had met with a very activist, a very radical organization, which I don't know if you heard of the Freedom From Religion Foundation by chance?
No, I have not.
Okay. They're based out of Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken, but they are pretty much national. And they're obviously a very atheistic organization that typically seems to reserve most of their vitriol for Christians, but I don't know if they get into any other religions or not. But they did meet with the IRS to talk about and go over different procedures, this from the Washington Times, by the way, for reviewing, evaluating, and determining whether to initiate church investigations. And the problem that has come up now is not even just that, but it's that when the ADF and, Judicial Watch, started pursuing this in the legal sense and started filing for discovery and the filing things under the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, they requested several different documents, thousands of documents, The IRS apparently has withheld more than 10,000 of the 16,000 requested documents, and then thousands of them that they did release were completely redacted. And that's according to the Alliance Defending Freedom. But, you know, when you've got, especially somebody like the IRS or somebody at the government level, like a governor of a state, meeting with groups that are very radical or agenda-based, have a very clear agenda, whether it's Planned Parenthood or whether it's, again, a group like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that is something that I think... go ahead.
I got a question about the Planned Parenthood thing.
Okay.
What is wrong with Planned Parenthood? I mean, what will we do with all these unwanted children? These kids that are in right now in Los Angeles that are just spreading like wildfire with gangs. You think to these answers, I would suggest Christ's words. He is free of sin, cast the first stone. We are not free of sin. We got to stop worrying about other people and worry about number one. And second of all, if the IRS would want to investigate, it's just like me asking you take a drug test. I'm sure you wouldn't mind if you have nothing to hide. And so what if they're investigating? That's the job of the IRS. But on the other hand, what does the Christian organizations have to hide? Nothing. And give to Caesar what is Caesar's is what Christ said. Who cares? He says to get slapped and give him the other cheek. We need to start acting like Christians. Persecution comes with Christianity, and we're supposed to embrace this. We're supposed to embrace these times, any time that something's hard. But instead, we're acting like nothing like a Christian. I couldn't imagine Christ standing there and telling a 16-year-old child that they're horrible because they're taking birth control right now, where that person could get pregnant, they can go to a place and get a bad abortion and get that person, they can kill themselves, they could, their parents can disown them. Why are we worrying about others? Let's worry about us. And our faith should not be applied to anyone else. If it came down to Mormons or Muslims trying to inflict their religious beliefs on you, you would throw a fit. So I say we don't do it to each other. Let's just be peaceful. Love each other. Embrace the hatred. And I'm sorry for going on a rant.
No, that's perfectly fine. We obviously have, while both being Christians, obviously kind of come at this from two perhaps almost completely different angles. One of the things that definitely does need to happen is that doesn't happen, that isn't happening, is that people do need to, once again, be adults, be civil.
Yes.
Instead of trying to attack and destroy one another, to, you know, try to come to some level of agreement. I'm with you in that sense. But at the same time, one of the things that perhaps you and I could both agree on, Tone, is that there's, whether it's people engaging in it or not, and it's not necessarily the people themselves, but there is and always will be a very real war that is fought and that does take place against Christians and against Christ in this country and all over the world, as I'm sure, you know, we can obviously see that in the Middle East with what's going on with ISIS or any other part in the world,
of course,
China,
and
what
that's
have
my
you.
Church that's being persecuted. My family actually lives in parts of Syria for a small
okay.
amount of time, and they're Christians, Orthodox
mm-hmm.
Christians. That's what we believe. And still, my family's the one that's getting persecuted. My family did. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, they turned the other cheek. They never wanted to start a war with any of these people, and they're the ones being persecuted. Here, we're not being persecuted. I don't see Christians being lined up and shot here. I don't even know when a government has ever killed a Christian here just for being a Christian or locking them away for just being a Christian. That doesn't happen. It happens over there, but it doesn't happen here.
Right, right. Now, and I hope that it never happens here. These things typically don't happen overnight.
No, you're right about that, sir.
I don't know what the future holds any more than you do, more than any person does. But you know, there are certainly things that are troubling. If Christians do have to make a decision, am I going to follow, you know, what my government says and what the law says, which we are, of course, obligated to do in a sense. But at the same time, if certain laws are, even what you commented on, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, which is 100% true. But it does say in many places in the Bible, typically the Old Testament more than the New, but if a government oppresses its
people... I think you're
fishing
not to... I think that's where the problem comes with Christianity. The fishing in order to find your agenda. And the agenda does not fit if it's not peaceful. That's what Christ was. He told us to be peaceful, civil, loving people, even to our death. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. But this new Christian faith is militant. It's turning almost like the ISIS is over in the Middle East. It's turning to the extreme. And it's scary, and it doesn't happen overnight. But it has been happening in the last couple hundred years in this country. And you can see that throughout history. These Protestant faiths are less than 500 years old. Yet they're growing at a rate, in a militant rate, in super mega churches. This isn't Christianity. That's not acting like a Christian. At any point in history, if you can tell me, in the 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has made so many mistakes. So many. They went through this phase in the medieval times, and especially during the Dark Ages, too, and the Spanish Inquisition. Religions do this. They form this militant group thinking that they're being persecuted in order to gain power. But this isn't Christianity. I never see Christ in the Bible ever ask people to judge others. That's the complete opposite. If the Bible's telling you to do something, and you think if you're Christ, if you're in a group that is being talked to by Christ, people put themselves in the position that they're an apostle. No. Christ gave the apostles messages, but he talked to the groups and the masses about peace. And that's what we are. We're the group and the masses. We're the small. We're the sheep. And sometimes it's hard to realize that, but the peace and love that Christ gives us is forever. You're going to have that forever. So let's be persecuted on this earth. Turn the other cheek and let's be Christians and enjoy it. And embrace that suffrage that we're supposed to.
Well, let me ask you this, Tone. Do you believe that in love, that it is ever loving to correct someone who is going down the wrong path that is destructive to themselves?
In which way would you? It could be and it could not be. That's a very broad question.
Okay.
Give me a little bit more specific.
Okay. Let me. I can go one of two different examples here.
Sure.
Let me go. Let me use an example. I live here in Ohio, and every so often there's a talk show on AM radio. It's a Baptist preacher. He talks kind of these types of issues, social conservative or cultural issues of the day.
Sure.
Now, would you agree, let me ask you this first, would you agree, at least basic matter of fact, that homosexuality or we'll say homosexual acts are sinful as defined in the Bible?
No.
Oh, you don't believe that?
I don't believe that a sin I could be judging at this time right now. I am a Christian, and before I am free of sin, which today I sinned. I looked at this girl. She had a beautiful body, and trust me, lustful thoughts went right through my head, and I'm married.
Okay.
So I committed just as much of a sin as the man who is a homosexual, and I do this on a daily basis. I am not God, nor will I act like it. That's between that person and God. When I'm free of sin, then I will judge that person. But I don't think I will be in my lifetime nor anybody else.
Well, that gotta admit, that kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop. Not necessarily what I was expecting, although I appreciate the response.
Sure.
But where I was going with it, though, was I don't know if you want to call it mainstream. I've got ideas that are outside of the mainstream, certainly myself, of Christianity, if you will, as taught in many churches today.
Okay.
But the common Christian belief, of course, is that it is something that is sinful. It's also something that research has shown can be very destructive to one's health. And again, a statistic
That was actually a statistic came out from Stanford, and I'd like to share this one with you. It's a 2015 study. It came out in November of 2015. I would really appreciate if you can look at it. It says that a homosexual relationship with a child, the children are actually a little bit above the normal kids in school. They have a loving household. They're actually finding that the homosexual relationships work harder because they are persecuted. So this statistic that you came up with, I'm telling you, this is from Stanford. So I don't understand how or who did this. Sometimes when people do these statistics, especially with religion, they have an agenda in their mind. And sometimes you search that out. It's a self-fulfilled prophecy. If I wanted to search right now that Muslims are bad, there's a million sites I can find that tell me that Muslims are bad. When you search out something that you want to find, you're going to find it.
Well, and I completely agree with that. Now, I can tell you, and I don't have all of the sources off the top of my head.
Sure.
I do know that there was a study. I believe it was not in the United States. It was, I don't want to say a governmental study, but it was a study done somewhere in Europe that listed the expected lifespan for a homosexual male at 20 years less than a heterosexual male. But it's interesting, too, that when we talk about studies and sources of them, that on that talk show I alluded to, which, like I said, was kind of where I was going with my example or forming my example from, the CDC, which certainly would not be seen, I think we would agree, as a organization that is biased in one way or another, at least not towards Christian faith, the CDC came out with information, I believe brand new information. And, you know, this was heard on radio, so I didn't have a link or anything in front of me, but saying that 83% of the syphilis cases, new syphilis cases that are diagnosed, are coming from the homosexual population, homosexual males, I believe, and that it's become such an epidemic that it is back up to levels or close to levels that we had in the 80s prior to the AIDS epidemic.
Well, of course, wouldn't that make sense, though? You have two sex-driven males. I mean, that men think about sex from morning to night. And when you have two men that just want to have sex all day long, of course disease is going to spread. I mean, a homosexual male, if they do a study, I'm pretty sure is having more sex than the majority of us. That's just common sense. But in order to persecute them because they're doing that, like I said, we have to be free of sin. And if Christ found this to be such an issue, he would have mentioned this. But instead, he talks so poorly about money and riches, but we don't bring that up as Christians. I mean, Jesus turned over the tables for the money exchangers, people that were stealing. Churches, mega churches, do this all the time, but we don't mention it. What's so funny about that? Christ mentions horrible things about money, but we focus on homosexuality, something he never mentioned. And if it was so important, especially a huge issue like that, he would have mentioned it. especially since he spoke Greek, he was influenced a lot by the Greek culture, which were homosexuals. This is an issue that was going on at crisis time.
Well, they
we need to focus on the great parts.
Well, they certainly were practicing homosexuality in Greece, in ancient Greece. And I have certainly heard this line of reasoning, and I'm not trying to fault you for it in any way whatsoever. I think you're
No, of course not.
I think you're presenting yourself very well, very maturely, very articulately, and obviously very heartfelt. My belief on what Christ addressed, what Christ did not address, was, for the most part, anything that was already known, anything that was already, that people were already aware of due to written law, he did not need to address certain things that they knew were against the law, so to speak, at that particular time. And he had a relatively short ministry of three and a half years. And you're right, he did speak quite often, and his entire ministry was indeed focused on loving people, on being gentle, on being servants to one another. And I would certainly never say that you or anyone focusing on that as far as Christ's ministry would be incorrect. I do believe myself as a Christian that, as it says in the first chapter of John, that Christ himself is the living word itself and the word made flesh. And so I do believe that all of the Bible is basically Christ's word. And, I understand, too, very much the idea of judge not, lest ye be judged. I do think, personally, that's more along the lines of not judging someone as being totally worthless or completely hopeless or trying to take God's place and say that person is heading to hell, because that very much is reserved to the judgment of God and the judgment of Christ and not to us. I do think we're instructed in the Bible to discern and to test the fruits of certain people, be wary of certain people who would claim to be of Christ or not of Christ, but certainly, as it says in the Bible, of Christ, and try to determine whether or not they actually are.
What do you think we should do with homosexuals then? I mean, in a perfect world that you're making up right now, if you can be perfect right now and fix this world, what would you do with the homosexuals?
I think that we have to, I was thinking about this subject even before I did the show today, and unfortunately, I've only got a couple minutes here, so, but so much of what our problems come down to as Christians or what have you, but as Christians in particular, is we get stuck in focusing on and listening to our flesh nature and our flesh character. And that comes down to homosexuality. That comes down to me having a thought or doing something I shouldn't do. That comes down to your example that you mentioned today and with your thoughts of that beautiful woman, and it's a struggle.
Do you think these men choose to be this way?
I don't know that they choose to be this way. My belief is that there's no proof that they're born this way or born that way.
Are you married right now?
I am not.
Okay. Have you ever been married?
I have not.
Okay. In love, maybe?
I would say likely so, yes.
Okay. Let's just put it in a perspective of a TV show that you like. If you like TV show and everybody tells you that it's bad and it's horrible, you can't help what you like. Nor, as a human being, I wouldn't listen to anybody if I liked that TV show. And I think it's kind of sad that some people